With me on the line now from San Francisco is Eileen Miyoko-Smith. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're speaking to you in San Francisco, but most of the time you live in Kyoto, Japan, where you run the NGO group Green Action. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
So explain for us, first of all, the relationship between the nuclear industry and the government in Japan.
Okay, well, there's quite a bit of collusion. Just for example, Japan plans a long-term energy policy every 5 years, and the last one was headed by the Tokyo Electric president. He was the chairperson of that committee, that deliberation committee, so you kind of get the picture here.
Now, this isn't unusual in Japan, is it? I mean, the whole Zaibatsu economic system where there's close cooperation between the government and industry also is involved in the nuclear industry, it sounds like.
Yes, that's correct. But over the last few years, it's now an issue that's not democratic. And so, for example, this current long-term plan is not headed by the Tokyo Electric president, but they're still pulling all the strings. And the committee members are stacked with industry people and pro-nuclear scientists. So we still have a very bad situation. And in fact, this accident is fallout from that. This is very much a human-created accident.
Why do you feel that this accident at Fukushima is related to the relationship between industry and government?
Well, Japan has 54 nuclear power plants, and they are all located in seismically active areas, and that's been a problem, and citizens have addressed that. But what the electric utilities and government do, coordinating with each other, is the utility issues a document that underestimates the potential seismic activity of a site, potential nuclear power plant site, and then the government rubber stamps it, and then they get to build the plant. So this plant should never have been built in Fukushima. And the reason I say it's a human disaster is that, you know, natural disasters happen, earthquakes and tsunamis, which is really tragic. But if you didn't site a nuclear power plant there, you wouldn't be having this accident at all.
Now, there's been some criticism from within your government in a leaked cable that a member of the Japanese House, his name is Taro Kono, he's quoted as being very critical, going so far as to ask if there really was a safe place to store nuclear waste in a land of volcanoes. How much attention does a dissenter like Taro Kono get in Japan?
Well, he's a high-profile Liberal Democratic Party member, which is a conservative party that was in power. But he's isolated even in his party. People know he's high-profile, so they know what he's saying, but he doesn't have the power to change policy. The people who run nuclear policy are the pro-nuclear Diet members in the Diet and the bureaucracy, that's the Ministry of Economy, Trade, and Industry, and the big electric utilities, mainly Tokyo Electric and Kansai Electric. Those are the big ones. I mean, they're huge. Tokyo Electric is like the third largest part utility in the world. So it's really difficult to change policy, and we've been struggling with this for decades now, starting with local residents and farmers and fisherfolk, and then now with citizens. And so this has been a democracy crisis for decades, and this whole accident was in the making over these several decades.
Let's talk about how industry and government have been forthcoming about the risks that have been posed by these reactors over the years. What have they said and done?
Okay, what they've said is that it's not necessary to have an evacuation plan beyond 10 kilometers, which is 6 miles. And local residents and all of us have fought that continually at every site. But they insisted that the worst accident could happen, the radiation would stop at the 6 mile limit. So then that means that you're not ready for an accident, you know, when it happens. If you've insisted that nothing will happen that would have any effect beyond 6 miles. And so the crisis right now is we're way behind an evacuation, and it's because the original paperwork said 6 miles. And there's no plan to evacuate people beyond that. I just want to talk one more thing about evacuation.
Of course. Please go ahead.
With evacuation, I think that the role of public authorities is to take the responsibility that you tell people to evacuate, and then maybe later you're criticized. Look, you know, we didn't have to do that. And there was so much turmoil and, you know, not enough gasoline in cars and people all stressed out. There may have even been accidents. in cars and even deaths because people had to be moved from hospitals, et cetera, but that the potential danger was so great. So even if you're criticized afterwards, you have to take that criticism. I think you have to be proactive. It's a difficult decision, and you have to weigh things, but I think they have to weigh it, and they haven't weighed it properly now.
To what extent has industry or government tried to conceal problems in the nuclear plants?
Well, Tokyo Electric's been notorious. It was a big scandal 9 years ago when they falsified their own self-inspection data. Just for example, this containment in Fukushima, what they did is, this is the containment that shields the reactor. The pressure has to be lower so that it prevents leaks from the containment. And that it wasn't functioning properly. So, okay, government officials are on one side of the plant measuring the situation, and then the other side of the containment, Tokyo Electric people are using a pump to extract the air from the containment to make it look like it has lower pressure. So that was a big scandal, and they did other falsification, and they were reprimanded by the government. So publicly, there's this reprimand, like, you know, the regulators are regulating and slapping the wrist of Tokyo Electric, but they're underneath, they're just completely coordinated. That's the problem.
Now, I understand a number of years ago there was a fire at the breeder reactor plant there. What happened in terms of keeping the public posted about that fire?
Well, that was 1995. It's another part of Japan, facing the Japan Sea, the China Sea. This is a very dangerous reactor. It's a prototype reactor. It had an accident. The owner-operator, which is sort of a government corporation, wanted to hide the reality of it. They took a video, but they suppressed the material. The reason that got known is that the local nuclear safety authorities in that prefecture, that state, just unannounced, went to the plant, demanded to be able to get in and look at the site, and then found all this sodium fire and the scattered sodium and just the pipe in a terrible state. And they recorded that. And that's the only reason we really found out what happened at the Moinjin accident. And probably the government would not have revealed that. That's an example of local authorities taking control. But it rarely happens. It rarely happens. We work with that prefecture all the time, and we're trying to push them, but they have to kind of listen to the national government because they're dependent on the national government for all sorts of things. So it hardly ever happens that way, you know, where they go in and take control.
Japan, of course, has paid the highest price of the nuclear age in World War II. One would think that Japan will be ultra-sensitive to the dangers of handling nuclear materials.
Well, that's correct. The public in Japan know about radiation dangers and are very concerned about it and are worried. They were sold a bill of goods that this was harnessing nuclear energy in a peaceful way, but they are anxious about it. The government does surveys about how people feel about nuclear power plants, and they never get a good response. It's always that the majority is fearful, so anxious about nuclear power. The main idea, though, is that the citizens feel they don't like it, it's a necessary evil, so long as it's sort of far away from me, then I'll be okay. And I think that they feel it's far away. Fukushima is 250 kilometers, that's 180 miles from Tokyo. The other big complex, largest complex in the world, Kashiwazaki, that's also owned and operated by Tokyo Electric, is even further away. And I think that, for example, residents in Tokyo feel, well, it's far enough away. If something happens, it's not Tokyo that's going to get it. And yet, Tokyo is serviced with that electricity. So this whole issue is sort of like a human rights issue, you know, being unfair. You know, you get the bad deal and we get the good deal.
Your family's in Tokyo right now. What concerns do you have about their safety?
Well, I have concerns that... I haven't told them you should leave because then what can I propose? I'm in the U.S. Where are they going to go? And my aunt's very old, and my uncle is very old too, and it's difficult. But I do have cousins with children. I don't know. I mean, I'm struggling with what to do about that. I don't mean to be passive about it. It's that I'm struggling with it.
This isn't your first experience with this type of nuclear accident, I gather.
I did do interviews with a colleague in Three Mile Island, living there for a year after the accident. And so, not directly, but through listening to their experience, I have, quote-unquote, experienced what it's like to have a nuclear accident happen in your town, your town's around a plant. I think that the thing I learned the most from those interviews was that up until the day of the Three Mile Island accident, there were pro-nuclear people and anti-nuclear people. But the moment the accident happened, there was nothing like pro-nuclear, anti-nuclear. People were just putting all their belongings, lifelong belongings and memories into their cars and trying to flee. I mean, the head of the French nuclear authorities gave a press conference yesterday in Paris and said that all six Fukushima reactors were in a state between Three Mile Island and Chernobyl. I mean, this is coming from a nuclear safety authority in the most pro-nuclear, nuclear-dependent nation.
How truthful and forthcoming do you feel the government of Japan and industry is being about the accident that's going on?
Well, I don't think they are being truthful. I think the big problem is that they need to be calm, and I mean, this government needs to calmly say all the facts and really explain all the facts, the potential dangers, very clearly to the people, rather than, quote-unquote, protecting them or hoping for the best. The reason for that is that if you're patronizing of citizens, they are kept in the dark, but yet you can't protect them from reality, the reality that happens. So they need to be told exactly what the worst-case scenario is and the possibility of that happening.
What do you see as a worst-case scenario?
Well, the worst-case scenario is that, of course, there are six nuclear power plants that are in very serious state. That's a huge amount of radiation in the reactors. And also, though, in addition, there's a huge amount of spent nuclear fuel stored on site, right on top of the reactors where those explosions happen. And we're seeing, for example, with one of the reactors, Unit 4, that we know there's that spent fuel pool damage. That inventory is huge. It's about 90 nuclear power plant reactor worth of fuel. In other words, 90 times what would be inside a reactor. Anyway, it's going to be very tragic, and we hope it won't happen.
Before you go, tell me, what's the role of activists like you in a situation like this? What's the role that you're playing there?
So the role of activists is to warn the public, and we have been doing that. But, you know, it's like we did our best, and what else can you say? But we weren't successful because we didn't stop these plants. But, you know, right now we feel like this has just been a total failure, and yet we still have urgent things we need to do, and that is that there's a tar plant southwest of Tokyo called Hamaoka, and the seismic situation there is much, much more serious than Fukushima. And there have been lawsuits involved there, and we have had some wins, but the plants have not been shut down. And so right now what we have to tell the public, now that they're listening, is that Hamaoka has to be shut down, and really quickly.
Yes, so every 5 years in Japan, I understand there is this nuclear policy review. What are the odds that the next review will make some changes?
Well, I think that they'll be forced to make some changes, but there's already work being done to counter this accident in the making, sort of saying this was just really unlucky. But I think that public opinion would really be scrutinizing nuclear power safety a lot more now. I mean, phenomenally more than before. I think that will be listened to much more. But we don't know. I mean, you know, they've got huge PR agencies. We'll see what happens.
How do you feel right now? It can't feel good to understand that, yeah, you guys were right about this.
Yeah, no, it feels horrible. And the kind of reaction we would have is like, well, it's all over, you know? I mean, we tried to stop this, but it's happened, and it's all over. It's all over. And I think that right now we have to stop reacting that way and say, okay, now the public's really going to listen, and we've got to stop making this worse. We have to stop being in the mode of, well, we tried, but we failed.
Eileen Miyoko-Smith is the director of the Kyoto-based group Green Action. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.